announcements. Esther had one that she would like to make. Does anybody else have an announcement that they would like to make?
I just want to say a big, huge thank you to all of you who participated in last Sunday in whatever version of that fundraising you participated in. We had more desserts than needed. That was awesome. And Matt and Lisa were very pleasantly surprised by the amount of money that they were able to raise. They got enough together to cover all of their initial flights going out. So that was a huge cost for them, and we're very grateful for that. Ongoing with that, if they're on your hearts for prayer, they continue to try and get their house sold. That'll be a big deal for them. And then working on the financial support, the monthly commitment kind of support for them. So as you pray for them, those would be the prayer requests. Thanks again so much.
So tomorrow, Jonah and myself, we leave at, I think we're leaving here at 8:30 in the morning for Thunder Bay. Our flight leaves at 1:30 for the 2020 Special Olympics Winter Games. We are both representing Team Manitoba. Jonah is a snowshoe athlete, and I'm an assistant coach. We would just ask for prayers for safe flights, and a little bit of sleep would be appreciated, because apparently you don't get a whole lot of that out there. And yeah, if you want to keep up to date with how Jonah is doing, our Special Olympics Club has a Facebook page, which is Altona Panther Special Olympics Club. So I'll be posting stuff on there. And there's also a website, I think it's like 2020 Thunder Bay, something like that, where you can watch the opening ceremonies, which is a super big deal. So yeah, if you can watch the live stream, you know, maybe see Jonah on there and maybe me wave to us. We might wave back. So yeah, just keep us in your prayers as we head out there. We've both never flown before, so we shall see how this goes. Yeah.
Good morning. The last time I was up here, I spoke for a long time, so get ready. I'm up here on behalf of the missions committee, and it was kind of neat. I sat down there, and what did I see? Tyler's picture. So that's kind of cool. So I guess it was meant to be that I talk about Tyler today. So I'm going to give you a little update about what he's doing with MCC and how his role has changed since December. So about 2 years ago, he said, yep, he was going to go to Cambodia and work there for 3 years, and he was there about a year and a half, and MCC asked if he would be willing to take on a bigger position, which he said yes to, which means he'll be there for a total of 5 years. So good on him, but it is kind of a big deal what he's doing. So not only is he working with Cambodia, but he took on a position. I got to read his text messages here, so just bear with me. He is now representing a bigger part of Asia. It includes 10 countries, actually. There he is. Okay, so the 10 countries that he's now working in or working with, and what he's doing there is working with the nonprofit organizations in 10 different countries, working with the MCC workers that work in those countries, and making sure that funds and monies that all of you give and everybody gives to MCC to support the workers and to support the work is being used the way God intends it to be used. So dealing with potentially sometimes corrupt governments and stuff like that, it's really a big heavy load that he needs to be a part of and to help make decisions that sometimes cuts funding or changes how that funding looks to help the people in need. So the countries now that he's responsible for are Cambodia, Vietnam, Laos, Indonesia, India, Bangladesh, Nepal, the Koreas, both of them, Myanmar, and Afghanistan. So he's well traveled. He's doing a bunch more traveling than I think ever thought he would do. He thought he would be sticking to Cambodia, but in fact now today he's in Indonesia, which was kind of cool. 10 years ago, pretty much like now, 10 years ago was when he was 18 years old and left to go work on his first SALT program, which was in Indonesia. So he sent a bunch of pictures this morning of him with his Indonesian family, which was kind of neat to see their pictures again 10 years later. And he was texting us and just telling us how he was driving past the internet cafe that he used to communicate with us every 6 weeks, 8 weeks, You know, now I can talk to him in the morning when I have breakfast. It's great. It's wonderful how that's changed. So, yes, continued prayer for Tyler would be fantastic. He would like to definitely say thank you very much to the church for the financial support that we've started giving them, giving to him. And with MCC, you don't go out and ask for funds. You are supported through MCC, but it's very limited. And so anything else that comes his way is very, very beneficial and helpful, and he really appreciates that. And he will be around in summer for 6 weeks. I think he's attending a wedding. Yeah, I think so. As well as I've already been encouraging him or suggesting to him that he do some sharing from the pulpit here and fill you in a little bit better as to what really it is that he's doing and share some of the stories and circumstances that he's been in, which are quite interesting at times. And definitely you can see God working in his work and in those countries. So just a small update.
Just a quick note, you'll notice in the middle of your bulletin, there's a page in there that says Church Retreat Feedback. The Education Committee is just wondering if you would take some time today, fill out those two questions. They are, who is a speaker that you would like to hear from at Church Retreat 2021, and what topic would you like the speaker to cover at Church Retreat 2021? The date for Church Retreat next year is March 5th to 7th is what we've got it booked for, so put that in your calendars as well. And if you could answer those two questions and then just pop that paper right into Dave Ginter's mailbox, that would be great. Thanks.
Thank you. So is that Tyler's wedding he's attending or somebody else's?
I think it's someone else's.
Oh, okay.
I'm not aware of anything that's happening.
Okay. Don't know if there's any other announcements in the bulletin that I should look at. You can look at them yourself. For a call to worship this morning, I wasn't sure where Jerry was going with his message, but I want to read two verses out of Romans 6, 22 and 23. But now you are free from the power of sin and have become slaves of God. Now you do those things that lead to holiness and result in eternal life. For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus our Lord. Mike Warnke said, if you do the do's, you ain't got time to do the don'ts, so you don't, and that's cool. I thought that was rather interesting, and there's a lot of truth to that. If you do the do's, you ain't got time to do the don'ts, so you don't, and that's cool. If we strive to lead a holy life, it will be easier for us to resist the temptation to get caught up in the sins of this world. When our focus is on building up our relationship to Jesus Christ, Satan's ability to distract us with the pleasures of the world becomes weaker. Most of the laws that we have in this land are therefore the purpose of protecting us. Jesus Christ gave us some laws in the Bible that we are to follow. They are there for that same reason as well. They're there for our physical, spiritual, and mental well-being. Obedience to Jesus Christ leads us to freedom. Freedom from sin, freedom from Satan's grasp on our lives, freedom from the bondage that Satan and sin brings. Our obedience allows us the freedom to come to Jesus Christ with all our problems and know that he is there listening to us and willing to help us in our daily struggles. We have the guarantee of eternal life in exchange for accepting God's free gift of salvation. It's a no-lose situation for all of us. It's a way for us to live our lives in freedom, knowing that there is something much better waiting for us when this life is over. A quote from Billy Graham, who passed away 2 years ago. Someday you will read or hear that Billy Graham is dead. Don't believe a word of it. I shall be more alive than I am now. I will just have changed my address. I will have gone into the presence of God. That's the power of freedom in Christ. Let's pray. Lord God, we come to you this morning and we thank you for your Son, Jesus Christ, who is willing to sacrifice his life to give us the opportunity to have eternal life with you in heaven. We want to praise you and thank you for this. Amen.
So I figured if Jeff can come up here, I can do that as well. As a deacon family, we often say that we don't hear about what's happening in the church. And so I kind of felt that, well, if I don't say what's happening with us, then nobody else knows either. So we are going to change, instead of doing MDS in March, we are actually going to Tucson under the MCC soup program, and we may be dishing out soup. It's actually special opportunities for older people or something. And we are probably going to be doing some, building some ramps for some seniors, and they have a program that some of us in our church would maybe be better at than me, and that is replacing old toilets with new low flush, low water amount toilets for seniors. So I'm not sure whether that's, and we're also spending a couple of mornings packaging diapers for all ages, from the baby diapers to the continent stuff or whatever, for people that are in need. So yeah, we're planning to leave next Sunday morning, and it'll be something different. MDS didn't have any spots for us. I think after the storm we had last fall, everybody signed up because November everything was filled up already.
Our blessings go on with you as you go from there. All right.
Good morning. Today we're going to start with the hymn, I Stand Amazed in the Presence. That's number 540 in your hymnal. And today we have the invitation to be there. So let's all stand amazed in the presence. Please stand with me.
Thank you.
Please sing with me the chorus, "Amazing Grace, My Chains Are Gone." You may be seated. I'd like to call the ushers forward for the offering.
Let's pray. O God, we joyously come together to worship, realizing we need not summon you into our midst, for you are here. We need not call you into the secret places of our hearts, for you are there. We need our eyes of faith to be open that we may see you, our ears to be unstopped that we may hear you, our minds to be sensitive that we may know you, our hearts to be tender that we may receive you. Grant each one of us a blessing, O Lord, as each has need, in the name of Jesus Christ the Lord. Amen. Who is having the children's story today? Would the children come up?
Good morning, everybody. Hi. Yeah, come sit up here. All right. Today, Pastor Jerry is going to be talking about freedom in Christ. One of the verses that we're going to be talking about says this. It's from the book of Galatians. It says, "It is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Stand firm then, and do not let yourselves be burdened again by a yoke of slavery." Does anyone have any idea what that means? Yeah. Yeah. Sometimes you put a yoke on a cow to keep them going. Yeah, they're like tied to you that way. Mm-hmm. So a yoke of slavery might mean that we are tied to something, right? Could, yeah. Okay, to help you better understand what this verse means, I'm going to ask Luke to help me. So Luke, can you come up here onto the stage? And I'm going to ask, do any of you want to help me too? I need one volunteer. Okay. What's your name? Dominic. Okay, you can help me too. Can you go up on the stage beside Luke, please? Now, you don't know what you've gotten yourself into. I'm going to tie you up. Is that okay? Okay. So Luke is now tied to Dominic. Oh no. Okay, so you were pretending. So Dominic, I need you to be a good sport for me here. You're going to pretend This isn't you for real, but you're going to pretend to be the sinful nature. We probably don't know what that means either, but we'll learn what that means. Okay, and Luke is just Luke. So the sinful nature is keeping Luke as his slave right now. Luke is in bondage to the sinful nature. That means that he does whatever his sinful nature tells him to do. So when Luke's sinful nature tells him to lie, he lies. At first, he does it just to be silly. Then when Luke's sinful nature tells him to steal and he takes a cookie that his mom told him not to, he lies about that too. The sinful nature is a very bad thing to be a slave to. But do you know what happened when Jesus died on the cross? What did Jesus do to sin? Let me show you. But you're not actually Luke. You're not tied to sin anymore. No, because Jesus cut your chains so you wouldn't have to be a slave to sin anymore. So, hey, Dominic, do you want to try it out? Say, tell Luke to do something sinful. Oh, so Luke doesn't have to steal a cookie when his mom tells him no, because he's free to do the right thing. Jesus made us free. Yeah. So he's not in bondage to sin anymore. Now he's free to live in the freedom of Christ. Thank you, Luke and Dominic. You can have a seat again. All right. So, Jesus cuts us free from the sinful nature so that we can have freedom in Christ to live the way he wants us to live. Let's pray. Jesus, thank you so much for cutting our chains free from the sinful nature so we can be free to walk as your Spirit wants us to walk, to do the things that you want us to do. Thank you for that, and please give us joy in that, in doing the right thing. Pray that you'd bless these kids today and help them to be a blessing to others. Amen.
Thank you for that story. Let's all turn to number 555, There's Power in the Blood. Please stand with me.
Thank you.
death was arrested. And for this worship song, this is a really powerful proclamation of freedom. So I encourage you, no matter how familiar you are with it, just think about every word you're singing, because it's just a proclamation.
Hello, I'll be reading Galatians 5, verse 1, 13, 14, 16 to 26. It is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Stand firm, then, and do not let yourselves be burdened again by the yoke of slavery. You, my brothers, were called to be free, but do not use your freedom to indulge the sinful nature. Rather, serve one another in love. The entire law is summed up in a single commandment. Love your neighbor as yourself. So I say, live by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the... You will not gratify the desires of the sinful nature. For the sinful nature desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the sinful nature. They are in conflict with each other. Sorry, I'm just a little nervous. It's been a long time since I've been up in front of people. For the sinful nature desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the sinful nature. They are in conflict with each other, so that you do not do what you want. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under law. The acts of the sinful nature are obvious. Sexual immorality, impurity, and debauchery. Idolatry and witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions, and envy, drunkenness, orgies, and the like. I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. Those who belong to Christ have crucified the sinful nature with its passions and desires. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking, and envying each other.
Sorry. Check. Is it on now? Can you hear me? Oh, perfect. You're awake? What? It's my beard. How about now? Is that better? There we go. Beards are powerful. But Jesus is more powerful. Oh. God, thank you for this morning. Thank you for your people. Thank you that we are here together to worship and honor you. And so, Father, I just pray that you would speak through me this morning. Pray that your voice would be heard and not mine, and that the words that you want people to hear would sink in. I thank you for your goodness. Amen. Have you ever felt free? Like really free? You know the feeling like high school students maybe, they feel when it's like the last exam is over and it's summer break, that feeling of, I can do what I want to do now, I'm free. Or maybe the college students who are like, I get to go to work now, yeah. Or whatever that is, that feeling of freedom. Or have you ever paid off a debt, had a loan of some kind from somebody, and made the last payment on it, like a student loan or a car loan or something like that? I remember, or a mortgage maybe. Some of you might be mortgage-free. That would be amazing. But that feeling when you make that last payment. I remember a few years ago I had a student loan that I was working on, and I had about, I don't know what it was, it's something like $1,000 left on it, and I had just saved up like about $1,000. And I was at the point where I was like, okay, I can either pay this off or just make the $200 or whatever dollar payments for 5 months now. And you know what I did with that? I took that $1,000 and I paid it off. And I felt so good. Oh, man. That was a good feeling. The feeling of freedom. I don't have to make $200 a month payments anymore or whatever it is. If you've never paid off debt in your life, which I don't, maybe you have some, but if you haven't had that feeling of being free from that, I just suggest it. It's a good thing to do. Try it out. It feels good to not make payments. It does. But I digress. Freedom, according to Google, is the power or right to act, speak or think as one wants without hindrance or restraint. It's the power or right to act, speak, or think as one wants without hindrance or restraint. So what does this have to do with living free in Christ? John 8, verses 30 to 36 says this, "As he was saying these things, many believed in him. So Jesus said to the Jews who had believed him, 'If you continue in my word, you really are my disciples. You will know the truth, and the truth will set you free.' 'We are descendants of Abraham,' they answered him, 'and we have never been enslaved to anyone. How can you say you will become free?' Jesus responded, 'I assure you, everyone who commits sin is a slave of sin. A slave does not remain in the household forever, but a son does remain forever. Therefore, if the Son sets you free, you really will be free.'" The freedom in Christ that I want to talk about this morning is something that Cassie mentioned, something that Eric mentioned as well, is the slavery to sin. We are free from the slavery of sin because what Jesus has done. Through his sacrifice on the cross, he paid the penalty for our sin. He paid our debt. The loan is covered. Man, that's good. And he's made a way for us to be free from sin, to do things God's way, not our own, not a sinful way. The truth, though, is that if we want to continue to live free in Christ, knowing this, we need to know the truth first. We need to submit to Jesus, and we need to follow the Spirit. We must know the truth. The truth is that God loved the world so much, he sent his only Son, Jesus, into the world to live, to die, and to be brought back from the dead. In living, he showed us what it looks like. This is Jesus. Jesus showed us what it looks like to live God's way perfectly. And he revealed God's character to us in doing so. In dying, he took our punishment and our shame for all the wrong things we have done. He took that all on himself. And he did this because we could not do it for ourselves. His life given for us was the perfect sacrifice, which covered all of our wrongdoing. And in being brought back from the dead, he proved that he has power over the grave, and he gave us hope that we can also be brought back from death to live with God for eternity, made right with him through Jesus' sacrifice. So how do we accept this truth? How do we gain access to this gift of God that is eternal life with our Savior, our Lord, and our Creator? 1 John 1:9 says, "If we confess our sins, he is faithful and righteous to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say we don't have any sin, we make him a liar and his word is not in us." Did you notice in the passage I read before that the Israelites talking to Jesus said, "We've never been a slave to anyone"? But they're talking to Jesus, so this obviously was after Egypt, where they were slaves to Pharaoh, pretty much. But we were never slaves. We've never been slaves to anybody. If we say that we've never been slaves to sin, if we're in Christ, or even if we're not, if we say we haven't sinned, we're lying, which is a sin. So then we all are sinning. So then we're kind of, you are, I am, we are, whatever. Confessing our sins, though, is really just agreeing with God and saying something like, "God, I lied to so-and-so, and it was wrong." It's agreeing with God that the things that he says are wrong, and that when we've done so, accepting responsibility for that, saying, "I actually did this wrong thing. I did that." Confessing our sins. And then we need to trust God, though, that he's going to forgive us for our sins because of what he did through Jesus. To say, "God, I did this wrong thing. It was wrong." Recognizing that. When we admit that, we recognize that it was wrong and that what we've done is wrong. And then we say, "God, thank you so much for sending Jesus to cover that sin for me, to make me right with you again." We need to know the truth and believe it. Because knowing this truth will change our lives. God is good. God is real. God loves you. and God wants the best for you. He has already set us free. He's already cut the chain. We're no longer bound to do what sin tells us to do. Do you believe that? Now imagine for a minute. We're going to maybe bring back the Luke analogy here, but imagine your wrists are chained, and the chain is attached then to a wall, and you're stuck there, chained to that wall for a while. Whoever chained you up, they just kind of left you there, and you're stuck, and you try to go for a while. At the beginning, you're full of hope, and you want to be free, so you try to get free. You try to wiggle your way out. You try to do whatever. You try to do what Dominic did and slip your hand out of the cuff, but it actually doesn't work on these ones because they're more form-fitting, I guess. But you're stuck. But then, someone comes along with a key and unlocks your wrists. They unlock it for you. And they say, you're free now. You can go. And they walk out. And you are just so amazed. You stand there for a minute. You close your eyes and you bask in that freedom. I'm so free. Oh, this feels so good. But your eyes are still closed. And then a voice tells you, did that actually happen? Are you really free? Are you sure that that was real? Did God actually free you, or was it just your imagination? And all of these thoughts just batter at you while your eyes are still closed, and you doubt. And you think, if I open my eyes and check, what if I'm not free? Because you can feel the cuffs on your hands still. The weight of them, the pressure, because you haven't been free that long. And so your eyes are closed and you think, I really want to be free, but I don't know if I can check. And because you're so unsure, you stay there for a minute. And the thoughts keep coming. And you really don't want to check your wrist, because what if it wasn't true? So slowly you put your arms down and you turn toward the wall, because you don't want to check that. And you open your eyes and look at the wall, and the chain is still stuck to the wall. You can see it there. It's attached to the wall there. And so you close your eyes again, and you don't even look at your wrists, because in your mind, you're still chained. But if you would have just looked at them and noticed they're unlocked and tried to get free, it's already been unlocked. You're free. You could walk out and go and be free. That's what it's like when we are freed in Jesus and we go back and do the same things we were doing before. And we don't believe what God said. The enemy will lie to us. Galatians 5 verse 1 says, Christ has liberated us to be free. Stand firm then and don't submit again to a yoke of slavery. You are free by the grace of God, and he has made a way to remove your sin, its punishment and its shame from you. This happened through Jesus. His sacrifice on the cross paid your debt. You cannot pay him back. If you try to pay him back for it, it's kind of like spitting in his face, saying, Jesus, I know you paid for this for me. I know you did this, but I'm gonna try and pay you back. I'm going to try and do this on my own. And if you trust in your own strength to do that, it doesn't work. You're saying, thanks, but no thanks, Jesus. I can get free on my own. The problem is that Jesus said himself in John 14, verse 6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. You and I, we cannot get to God on our own. We cannot repay God for the wrong things that we've done. But the good news is that Jesus has done it. He's taken care of it. He has bought our freedom. In Paul's letter to the Galatians, he addresses a problem they're having. They had heard the gospel and learned of the freedom they had, the freedom that was given through the sacrifice of Jesus. They had been shown this freedom, but as many of us do, they got sidetracked. They believed the lie that it was too good to be true, or maybe it was too easy, and they tried to follow the law to be saved. In his book, Bondage Breaker, Neil Anderson mentions the reality of being free in Christ as if we're standing in an alleyway. And on either side of us, there are multi-story buildings with lots of windows. And we've been freed in Christ to walk through that alleyway. And we can go right to the end, and there's nothing in the way. There's nothing we're going to trip on. There's nobody that's going to get in our way. There's nothing between us and the end of the alley. These buildings are on the sides, though, and they've got windows. And we have an enemy, and this enemy has placed agents in many of the windows along the alley. And these agents of the enemy, what they do, as we're walking in freedom through the alley because there's nothing in our way, they yell at us, and they lie to us, and they say, there's somebody in your way. You're going to get hurt if you go over there. You're going to trip on that thing, whatever it is. And you just, if you turn your head to the side and listen to these people, maybe they say, actually, hey, why don't you just come over to my place for a little bit? Like, you don't need to go through the alley. Just come over here. We're going to hang out. We're going to, you know, I've got some really good food here for you. Or I've got some, you know, I got lots of money. I'll give you some money if you come over here. These voices, all they can do is yell at us. They can talk to us. They can tell us lies. They can't actually physically stop us from going through the alley. Because we're free in Christ, we can walk through that alley. We have the ability. They can't actually do anything to us physically. They can't get in our way. All they do is lie to us to make us believe something that's not true, to disbelieve the freedom we have in Christ. Doing this thing is going to make you feel better than doing what God wants. All the things that they say to us are not true. The Galatians, instead of having faith in and trusting God, they thought they needed to do something to earn their salvation. They thought that keeping the law was how they would do this. Unfortunately, they were not responding in faith. And don't we all do this sometimes? We try and work harder or do better or do more for Jesus because we think that maybe he doesn't love us as much. Or maybe he'll love us more if we do those things. Our faith must be in Christ. We must submit to Jesus. I remember a lot of these moments clearly, actually. Moments where I've tried so hard to get myself free from certain things, where I fail often. And there have been days where I come to the point and I say to God, God, I've been trying so hard and I can't do this by myself. Please help me. I've seen the relationships that others seem to have with God and been jealous of them. Why doesn't God speak to me the way he speaks to this person? I've listened so often to voices and thoughts that told me, you're not good enough, you're not tall enough, you're not thin enough. What if this? What if that? That day, and many days, God has shown up. There was one moment on Soar Heartland where I was praying out to God, and I said, God, I'm done trying so hard to find you. I'm done trying so hard to do more to experience your presence or to be like these people that I see who have a good relationship with you. I don't know what to do anymore. I need your help. And what he did in that moment was he opened my spiritual eyes, I guess you might call it, whatever. He opened my mind. He helped me he revealed to me where he had been with me through all those experiences, looking, running after him, trying to be with him, hearing about other people. He shows me in that moment, he said, I'm already with you, Jerry. I've been with you the whole time. When you thought you were alone, I was there. He was already with me. Every time that I had caved in to the idea of depending on God rather than the cultural ideal of self-sufficiency, when I finally gave in and said, God, I'm going to do this your way instead of my own, God is there. He's waiting with open arms, reminding me that he was with me on this journey. Through whatever mess I got myself into, he is the one who wanted to be my first resort, not my last-ditch effort. But I was bound by the idea or the lie that I had to make God want me or make God love me or somehow clean myself up so that God would be willing to meet with me or to hear what I had to say. Which wasn't true. God was there. I had thought that if I wanted to experience his presence, I somehow had to make it happen. But the thing is, we can't manipulate God. We don't make him do anything. He is God and we are not. In Galatians 5:13 and 14, Paul says, "For you were called to be free, brothers. Only don't use this freedom as an opportunity for the flesh, but serve one another through love, for the entire law is fulfilled in one statement: love your neighbor as yourself. We have been forgiven. We have been set free from sin and the penalty that it required, and we are to use our freedom to serve one another through love. Because it's true that God was with me the whole time, because it's true that God loves us and he's made a way for us to be free, because that's true, we can believe that he forgave us through Christ. And because of that forgiveness, we can give forgiveness to others freely. In fact, Jesus said in Matthew 6, 14 and 15, "For if you forgive people their wrongdoing, your heavenly Father will forgive you as well. But if you don't forgive people," and this is the warning, "your Father will not forgive your wrongdoing." If we withhold forgiveness from other people, it hurts us too. It doesn't just hurt them. Sometimes we might think that if we don't forgive that person, we're somehow punishing them for what they did, the hurt that they caused us. If I don't forgive you, somehow you're going to feel that and you're going to know that. But the truth is, we feel that way more than they do. They might have done something or said something and it hurt us, but they don't even know. But if we hold on to that unforgiveness, it comes between us and God. It causes separation between us and him, and it hinders us from walking freely in Jesus. So if we want to live free in Christ, we actually need to forgive people who have hurt us, which is not a very easy thing to do sometimes. But God is with us, and he will help us to do that. We need to be quick to forgive. We need to bring our hurts to God and to allow his Spirit to heal us. We need to know that God has offered us forgiveness, and he's shown us the lengths that he was willing to go to in order to forgive us when we were still his enemies, and we must now choose to forgive others and trust that God will take care of those situations, that he'll heal those hurts in us, and that he'll work in that person's life to make sure that they don't hurt other people, whether that's through redeeming that or bringing justice like he can, that only he can. Forgiving others frees us, and it feels good to forgive. We must also follow the Spirit if we want to live in freedom in Christ. Galatians 5, 16 to 26, like Eric read, says this: "I say then, walk by the Spirit, and you will not carry out the desires of the flesh. For the flesh desires what is against the Spirit, and the Spirit desires what is against the flesh. These are opposed to each other, so that you don't do what you want. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are devious: sexual immorality, moral impurity, promiscuity, idolatry, sorcery, hatreds, strife, jealousy, outbursts of anger, selfish ambitions, dissensions, factions, envy, drunkenness, carousing, and anything similar. I tell you about these things in advance, as I told you before, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. Now those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. Since we live by the Spirit, we must also follow the Spirit. We must not become conceited, provoking one another, or envying one another." Those are some long lists. There's a long list of things that the flesh wants us to do, or the things that the flesh entices us to do will lead us down. And there's a list of things that if we follow the Spirit, that will be the fruit of our life. The unfortunate thing, though, is that that list of things that the flesh leads us to, I'm pretty sure I've been there, some of those things. There's a list of things, and some of them maybe are a little more than what we might say that we've been involved in. But I don't know if you've ever had an outburst of anger. Has anybody been angry before? I think I have. So I guess I'd be on that list sometimes. Have I ever envied somebody? Well, maybe a little bit. I don't know. Have I ever done anything similar to anything on these lists? Well, I guess that kind of means probably all of us have done something along the lines of the flesh. But because of what Christ has done, I've also experienced in my life love. I've experienced joy. I've experienced peace. He's given me patience when I didn't think I had enough sometimes. But the thing is, if we follow the Spirit, we're not going to carry out the desires of the flesh. The problem, though, is that as we follow Jesus, so he's made us free, right? He's made us free, but we still have to choose, he says, if we walk in the Spirit. So we have the Spirit and the flesh that are at war, and Paul talks about this as well, the Spirit and the flesh, and how he does what he doesn't want to do, and he doesn't do what he wants to do, and stuff like that. But I think that as we choose every day which one we're going to do, are we going to follow the flesh or are we going to follow the Spirit, in whatever decision it is, I think that as we choose one or the other, we start to develop habits. And if we're free in Jesus, we're actually, before we were free in Jesus, we're automatically going to do the things that the flesh wanted a lot of the time. That's pretty much our first response, I guess, is what it would be. If a decision came up and the flesh said, hey, you should go do this before Jesus, yeah, sure, why not? Didn't even think about it. We just kind of did it. But as we grow up and mature in the faith, as we believe in Jesus, the freedom that he gives us the opportunity to actually follow the Spirit, which is freeing because the Spirit will nudge us to do things maybe that at first we're not 100% wanting to do, sometimes though, but they're things that feel way freer than when we follow the flesh. And as we continue to sow to the Spirit, we're going to continue to want to do that more. But if we sow to the flesh continually, doing what the flesh wants over and over and over again, it's just going to be a habit. But the great thing is, even if you find yourself in a space where you're following the Spirit, or following the flesh, and following the flesh, and following the flesh, what we need to do in those moments is to come back to Jesus and realize he has already freed us. We're no longer chained. We don't have to automatically do that. We can choose differently. And that is the freedom in Christ. We can choose to do good things. We can choose joy. We can choose peace. We can choose patience. When my kids do things that get on my nerves, when my kids don't listen to me and my flesh riles up, they should respect me, whatever it is. I'm angry about this. I can choose in that moment what I'm going to do. And I'll admit that sometimes I choose to be angry. But the Spirit is so good that often when that happens, almost like that, he's like, Jerry, that was the wrong response. And my heart is like, I don't want to do that. I don't want to respond according to the flesh. And I know that that's God's work in my life. And when that happens to you, I know that that's God's work in your life too. When we respond according to the flesh and the Spirit says, hey, wait, that wasn't what you should have done there. That doesn't feel right anymore. That's God's work in your life, and it proves that he is still with you, and he is working in you. And if the enemy says, oh, you're just an awful person because you did that thing, that's a lie. God has made you free. In Ezekiel 36, verses 25 to 27, he says, I will also sprinkle clean water on you, and you will be clean. I will cleanse you from all your impurities and all your idols. I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit within you. I will remove your heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh. I will place my Spirit within you and cause you to follow my statutes and carefully observe my ordinances. He's talking to the Israelites and he's saying, one day I'm going to be able to do this. I'm going to send this. And this, I think, is talking about Jesus. Jesus, when we accept the truth of what Jesus did, he gives us a new heart that's sensitive to the things of him, that wants to do what's right instead of what's wrong. And when we do what's wrong, we feel bad. And we feel like that is not good. But in those moments, we can know that it's God who's revealing the wrongdoing to us if it leads us to do what's right. If it's just a condemning voice saying, you're bad for doing that, you're an awful person, you are not worth God's love, that is the voice of the enemy. And that is a bunch of lies. God reveals things to us so that we can change what we are doing and do what's right. The enemy reveals it to us so we feel bad and continue doing wrong things because we seek comfort in our flesh or whatever that is. So the truth is that God cleans our conscience and he nudges us to do things differently than we did before. We still have choices to make every day, and so I encourage you, just as Paul did, instead of becoming again a slave to submitting again to a yoke of slavery, choose to follow the Spirit. Choose to do the right thing. If we want to live free in Christ, we must know the truth of who God is, who he says we are, what he has done for us. We need to remind ourselves of these truths often. We have to hold up our shield of faith against the lies of the enemy, because he's going to continue lying to us. He never stops. He doesn't want us to follow Jesus. He doesn't want us to do what's right. He wants us to do what's wrong and to follow our flesh. So we have to choose daily to hold up that shield of faith. Christ has done this. We are free. Not through our own power, through following the law, we are saved, but it's through Jesus. We must forgive others freely because he has offered us forgiveness freely, and unforgiveness holds us in bondage. We live in the freedom of Christ, and we follow the Spirit by choosing to obey the truth and follow the nudges of the Holy Spirit. The nudge to put others' needs before our own. The nudge to do what God wants us to do rather than what our flesh wants in all situations. And when we make mistakes, not if, but when, we go back to God, remember the truth, submit ourselves to him again, and continue to carry on. So my challenge this week, guys. Church, sorry, not guys. Church, my challenge this week is this. I have four questions I want you to consider. Take some time this week, sit down, and think about these questions. And so I'm going to say them. And if you have a notebook, you can write them down. If you'll remember them, I don't believe you. Write them down anyway. Because I just know that my memory's not that great. And if you guys have a better memory than me, I'm thankful you do. But these are the four questions to ask yourself. When you're sitting with the Lord, you say, Holy Spirit, reveal these four things to me. Holy Spirit, is there some sin that I need to confess that's coming between me and you? Is there some sin that I need to confess where I need to agree with you that I did the wrong thing and hurt somebody else or went against what you told me to do? Is there some sin that I need to confess? Number two, is there somebody that I need to forgive? Would you bring to my mind somebody that I need to forgive? And maybe it's something we haven't thought of for 5 years, 10 years, that's just been sitting there. Is there someone that I need to forgive? Number three, is there a lie that I'm believing that's coming between me and you? Is there some lie that I'm believing that's stopping me from going to God? Whether it's that I'm worthless or that I can't go to him because I'm too messed up, whatever it is there some lie that I'm believing that's coming between me and God? And number four, have I been choosing to follow the flesh rather than the Spirit in a certain area of my life that I need to change what I'm doing and build a habit of following the Spirit rather than the flesh? So is there an area of my life where I've been following the flesh rather than the Spirit? And if you consider these four questions, I am convinced that the Holy Spirit will reveal to you if there's anything coming between you and God. And if there's not, praise the Lord. But if there is, bring those things to him. Give them to him. If there's a sin you need to confess, confess it. If there's someone you need to forgive, forgive them. And if you need to seek reconciliation, go and do it. If you need to tell them what they did that hurt you, because they might not know, do it in love. Tell them what hurt you and seek reconciliation in that way, because they might not know. And they might say, I'm sorry, I didn't know that I did that. Please forgive me. Which, if you don't talk about it, they probably won't ask you that if they don't know. Number three, is there a lie that I'm believing that's coming between me and you? And if there is, God, reveal your truth to me in this. Or talk to a trusted friend or believer and ask them to help you. What is the truth in this situation? This is what God told me, a lie that I'm believing. This is something that he revealed to me. What's true about this? What's true in this situation? Tell me the truth. Help me to know the truth in this. And if you've been following an area of the flesh rather than the Spirit, choose to take a step to follow the Spirit in that. The next time you find yourself in that situation, when you know, oh, I'm here again, this is what the flesh wants, this is what the Spirit wants, this is what I want to do, that's just for me, this is what would be the right thing to do, choose to do the right thing. That's my challenge to you. Take some time, go through those things with the Holy Spirit. And if you don't feel comfortable doing this on your own, if you're not sure what to do, you can feel free. I'm going to throw them under the bus, put them on the spot. We have some great deacons and lay ministers, and Rudy and myself. If you want to talk to us about these things, we'd love to pray with you about these things too and help you to go through that. Because we, as believers, we have been given freedom in Christ. We need to live in that freedom. God has given us freedom. We are free. So live as free people. Amen.
Please stand and we'll respond with Freedom Reigns. The Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. Lift your eyes to heaven, there is freedom. Lift your eyes to heaven, there is freedom. Freedom reigns in this place. Showers of mercy and grace falling on every face. There is freedom. If you're tired and thirsty, there is freedom. If you're tired and thirsty, there is freedom. Give your all to Jesus, there is freedom. Give your all to Jesus, there is freedom. Freedom reigns in this place. Showers of mercy and grace falling on every face. There is freedom. Jesus reigns in this place. Showers of mercy and grace falling on every face. There is freedom.
Please bow with me for the benediction. Lord Jesus Christ, thank you for offering us freedom through your sacrifice. As we go through this week, remind us often of our freedom in you. May we deal with anything that is coming between us and you, trusting in your work to overcome any darkness in our lives. We ask for your Holy Spirit to reveal the truth to us, and we ask that you grant us more faith as we seek to live freely in you this week. May we be people who keep short accounts, and those who offer forgiveness freely as you have forgiven us. Amen. Go in peace.